If you've got your Bibles with you, can you turn to John's Gospel? Fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. If you get to Acts, you've gone too far. Am I going to read right from the beginning there? John chapter 1. Let's just pray as we do so. Father, we're coming to listen to your word and for your word. Lord, please help us to hear it. Help us to understand what you are saying. Because we know that you have something to say. And it's the most important thing that we will hear today, because it's from you. Open our minds, our hearts, our ears, make us willing to listen, willing to put it into place in our lives. Open up your word to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1, from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've been talking about joy this morning, lighting the candle this morning representing joy, singing a lot about joy. But I wonder if you feel about what you feel, whether you feel full of joy this morning. I wonder if you sometimes feel more like you are living in the dark. I mean, do you ever feel like your life is just going through a really dark time? Maybe you're confused about the choices that you're facing. Maybe you feel alone because you want your marriage to work, but you don't know what to do to save it. Maybe you're worried about Christmas because Christmas celebrates a baby being born. Or it's a time for families to be together. And either of those things bring all sorts of painful thoughts and memories for you. Maybe you feel rejected by a friend or left out of some relationship, or the boss talks to everyone but you about certain things, and so you feel like you're just left in the dark, not knowing what's going on. The dark is not a fun place to be. And what we need in those times, of course, is some light. And one of the most encouraging and refreshing aspects of the Christmas story is what Isaiah wrote in a prophecy hundreds of years before Jesus came. He wrote, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." And that's what we hold on to, because this is a dark world that we live in. And if you don't believe me, all you need to do is watch the evening news or click on the internet and read the headlines. And quickly you will be reminded of the times that we're living in, and the culture we're living in can be dysfunctional and dangerous and decadent, even deviant. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some glimpses of light out there, and that there aren't people who spread a ray of hope wherever they go. Of course they are. But all of that is cast against a backdrop that is all too often more evil than it is good. And that can be really wearing, can't it? I mean, just to take as a very present example what's been happening in politics over the last few days or weeks or months. You know, pretty much all my life I have taken at least a strong interest in politics. Sometimes I've been actively involved, and I've always railed against those who are just cynical and condemnatory about politics and politicians, because I believe that the vast majority of politicians, whatever their party, whatever their policies, whether I agree with them or not, they have gone into politics and formed those policies because they genuinely want to help people and serve the community. But it's got to the point where I'm just giving up on the whole shebang. Please understand, I'm not trying to make a party political point here. However you voted on Thursday, however you feel about the result, or about Brexit, or about Scottish independence, or about the voting system, or about the NHS, or whatever, it feels to me that the way that it has been managed, the falsehoods that have been presented by pretty much every party, well, I'm starting to rant now, and that's not what you want to hear. The point is simply that it's a dark world. Or at a much more personal and individual level, I know that many of us, myself included, have things that we are really struggling with at the moment. Loss, illness, anxiety, depression, stress, exhaustion. It is a dark world. And in a lot of ways, it's quite similar to way back at the very beginning, where the book of Genesis tells us in the opening verses that in the beginning, the world was dark and it was formless. And then God spoke, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he brought light and life into the darkness. But soon after that, sin entered the world and brought a whole new kind of darkness, a darkness that has plagued humanity ever since. And in a lot of ways, it's quite similar to the world in which Jesus came into 2,000 years ago. We're in a series thinking about Advent. Advent really just means coming. It's talking about the coming of Jesus as a baby, but also about his second coming as a king as well. One's already happened, the other is yet to come. And we are living in between the already and the not yet, in between heaven and earth, in between darkness and light. And we've been looking at what the different gospel writers tell us about this. Last week we looked at the Gospel of Mark, and today we're going to look at the Gospel of John, as we read a minute ago. Just like Mark, John doesn't have the story of Jesus' birth in a literal, traditional way. There aren't a lot of the most basic elements of the Christmas story that we've grown accustomed to. No stables and shepherds and wise men and all that. And yet, as we walk through John chapter 1, we're going to see that, yes, absolutely the Christmas story is here. Because one of the most common and most powerful biblical images for who God is and how he interacts with us and this dark world is that God is light. And he shines into the darkness and he calls us to live in that light with him. The Bible talks a great deal about deeds of darkness that we're to reject. It talks about Satan being sent out into outer darkness. Well, God sits on a throne that is covered in lights. And at Christmas, we talk a whole load about lights. We even sing about it. You know, we sing, may your days be merry and bright. Nobody sings, may your days be merry and dark. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? There is so much emphasis on light at Christmas. We've got candles here that we've lit to represent the light. We've got lights on our Christmas trees and in our windows. We all go out and cheer when the town lights are turned on with a big ceremony, at least when it's not cancelled because of the weather. We all know, at least I hope you all know, that Jesus wasn't actually born on the 25th of December. Well, at least he might have been, but there's a sort of 1 in 365 day chance of that. We don't know when he was born. But we celebrate it then because it is literally the darkest time of the year. And into that darkness, God brought light. Light dispels darkness. That's why people love candles. We were talking about watching the candles flickering earlier. That's why we love that. And tree lights, the same. That's why we love tree lights. And as Christians, we have even more reason to talk about light at Christmas time. And that's how John describes what happened at Christmas. He says that light shone into the darkness. And so now, because of Jesus, it is possible to live in this dark world and yet still have joy, knowing that the darkness will never be able to overcome God's powerful light. And as I say that, I was just struck by what Lynn was reading earlier about joy, about how our joy is very much dependent. What was the phrase? It depends on our dependence on God, double dependence. I can't remember what I said, but along those lines, if we want joy, we need to depend on God. That's very much what this is about here. 2,000 years ago, God shone his light into the world to deal with the darkness. So has the darkness gone? No, we're still waiting for him to put an end to the darkness. And that will come at the next Advent when Jesus returns. But we also know that in between, right now, between today and eternal salvation in God's completed kingdom, there are some dark places that need a healthy dose of light. And that's where we come in order to be people who live faithfully in between darkness and light. Let's read the first few verses again in John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, darkness is never a match for the light. And so John begins by reminding us that God created the world. Jesus was right there, involved in the process, right there beside his Father. God is in charge of this universe. Anyone who sets a solar system in place gets to make the rules. That's just kind of how it works. And no matter how dark some of the corners of the world may seem, God is still the creator and the sustainer of it all. Now, because of sin, it's not as he originally made it, but he is no less powerful to overcome the darkness. It's actually quite hard these days to find somewhere that is really dark. If you're into astronomy, you have to travel for miles to get to an area of the country where there are genuinely dark skies, where there isn't light reflected from a nearby town or city. But for most of us, the darkest place that we've been in our life wasn't a dark skies area. It wasn't in a cave, or it wasn't hiding in the back of a wardrobe. The darkest place wasn't a location as much as it was a season that you went through. When you were expecting a Christmas bonus and instead you got made redundant. It's maybe the struggles that come with aging. It's the loss of a loved one. It's the dashed hopes of your child who tried out for that team or that performance or that job. It's the guilt that accompanies that temptation to sin that you just struggle to say no to. And that is why we need the light of Christ in our lives. He can make darkness flee. Sin is still in the world. It's in us, but God has the power to do something about it if we let him and if we join him in the light. But notice that there is a choice there. Let's go back to John chapter 1, this time from verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, this isn't just a passive thing that God is doing to us. Our responsibility is to receive him. It is to accept him. God's done all the work on this. None of it is down to us. But you don't just automatically get the benefits of Jesus coming along unless you personally choose to receive him as your Savior and as your Lord. Think of it like this. Imagine after the service is over, you go down into the lounge for a coffee, and I come up to you with a big, beautiful, very carefully wrapped present, really nicely wrapped present for you. Malcolm and I were filming at Kingsland, the children and staff, for a video for their Christmas service, and we asked them about their best ever Christmas present, and we had some wonderful stories of gifts that they'd been given, really beautiful things that they'd been given that meant a huge amount to them. So imagine I come up to you and I say, hey, I've got something for you, and in fact, you don't know this, but the gift I have for you is something that you really want. In fact, it's probably the most important and most desired and needed gift that you've ever had. And I've put a whole load of time and effort and work into this. And so I say, look, I've got you this for Christmas. And I say, you can open it right now if you want. And people are walking past with their coffee and they're looking at you and they're looking at this big gift. And you say, oh, Ian, thank you so much. Wow, that means so much to me. I can't tell you what this means. Thank you. But look, I'm in a bit of a hurry. I've got to get somewhere today. Can I open it later? And so I say, yeah, of course, that's fine. You open it later. And you head off to your car. And then let's say I see you a week from now at the Nativity service. And I walk over to you and say, hey, what do you think? And you say, the gift. Yeah, you know what, Ian, I've been so busy. You know how busy it is in December. I mean, I've just been swamped. But you know what? Since that gift came from you, I actually set it aside. I've got it right next to my Christmas tree. I've kept it apart from all the other presents because it's a special gift. And I can't tell you how much it means that you got that for me. And then I don't see you for another 2 months. And maybe I bump into you in the street. And I say, oh, hey, good to see you. Did you open the gift? Oh, no, I haven't. But you know what? I was just telling someone this morning. Can you imagine, out of all the people in the church, that Ian gave me a gift, but you haven't opened it yet? Oh, no, I haven't. But you know what? Someday I will. And at some point I have to think in my life and in my heart, after all of the effort that I put into making that gift for you, a gift is only a gift if it is received, if it's accepted and opened and used. You see, there are some of you who know the Christmas story. You could probably quote every detail of it. You recognize and realize why Jesus came and the implications of it all. But you've never done what the wise men did when they came face to face with the gift. When they came face to face with Jesus, they fell on their knees and they worshipped. Now please hear me when I say that the unopened gift of Jesus, the Savior of the world, does you absolutely no good if you don't take the time to embrace him with your life. And if you have opened the gift, if you've kind of tuned out for the last 2 minutes and you're thinking, okay, Ian, this bit doesn't really apply to me because I have opened the present, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. Let me just add a word of caution here. And I'm saying this to every believer, including myself. Don't put the gift back in the box. You've opened the gift and you've used it for a while and you've shown it to all your friends and you've done all sorts of exciting things with it. But sometimes there just comes the thought that, I might just store that gift safely back in its box for a little while. That doesn't work either. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is our God. A God who came to live with us, who came to be one of us, to become flesh and blood and move into the neighborhood. And that is the most important thing about living in between. He's here too. Let's pray. Lord, this is hard work, living in between. We've heard all about what it's going to be like in the light. We catch glimpses of it, and it's so exciting. But sometimes, Father, it feels like we are just surrounded by so much darkness. Lord, would you help us to turn to face your light? And if we're facing your light, then we are also reflecting your light to those around us. We so need your light in our lives, and we know that this world needs that light from you and reflected off us. Bring us light this Christmas. We pray it in the name of your Son, who is the light of the world. Amen.